to worship the Lord with all. Praise Him in everything. Jesus. Come, magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Come, magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the
thankful that that we have a rock of our salvation. It's Jesus. As long as we stand on Him, we'll think we can survive. We can make it. He's a solid rock. He's the rock of our salvation. So I'm thankful today that we are rallying around that, you know, that Jesus is our rock. And if I begin to realize it, I think I'm thankful for what Brother Smith was giving us this morning in Bible study about, you know, the Bible said blindness in part happened to Israel. You know, if you think, you know, that they was a nation blessed to be a God people. They were God's people. And God sent His Son to them, and they didn't recognize the day of His visitation. And, you know, you'd think, well, surely they could have known that He was the Son of God, but they didn't. You know what I mean? As a nation. And you think about that, and I was talking to Brother Durham. I was thinking, you know, that as a nation, they didn't recognize or didn't know who He was altogether. And I was thinking individually, you know, as an individual, no matter, you know, even in this country, you know, we hear a lot about, you know, religion. And as an individual, you know, we can be blinded. We can be where we don't know, you know, who Jesus is. And you think in a country like this, you know, everybody ought to know who Jesus is, but they don't. And so I'm saying if you are blessed that your eyes see, that you're able to see who Jesus is, then you're a very blessed person. You're very blessed if you're able to see, because I mean, we're no different. You know, we're flesh and blood. If they missed Him in that day, you know what I mean? That we can miss Him as well. So we have to begin to humble ourselves to be able to let God show us and let Him deal with our hearts. And you know, the Bible talks about guarding your heart. Out of your heart are the issues of life. So something you have to do to try to help to keep a pure heart, a pure heart enough to be able to humble yourselves enough to be able to see what God, you know, consider God, you know, we want to consider God in our everyday life. Because I know in our walk, I know you talk to people, you know, you seem like you can't get through to them. You know, you talk to them and you try to help them. You know, they might somewhat come to you for help, or at least you recognize that they need help and you're talking to them. But seem like you're not getting through. You know, you're talking to them, and you know they need your help, but you can't get through to them. That's kind of a sad situation. But, you know, in this day and time, with all the religion that we're around, churches and people talking about God and the confusion in this world. So what I'm saying is if you at all see who Jesus is and see that He has a people in the earth, then you're a very blessed person. And we have to protect that. In a sense, we have to guard our hearts to be able to not let something get in our heart to hinder that. If you see who Jesus is today, you know, you can, maybe tomorrow you may not see who He is. That He's dealing with a people, that He has a people. And I don't want anything to, you know, you can let a root of bitterness, it's a lot of things can get in your heart to hinder your walk with God. And it's not, I mean, it's not that you didn't even plan it. You know what I'm saying? It just can happen. So we have to guard our heart. We have to let God help us. And be humble enough for God to be able to help us to see, to keep seeing. If we see, then let God help us to continue to walk. Continuing revelation. They're saying, you know, that they that have the Bible talks about a vision. Somebody else says it's a continuing revelation. So we have to be able to continue with the things that God has given us. So I'm thankful today that we're here in the house of God to be able to lift his name up and worship him and praise and even our conversation about the Lord. So it's good to be here today, and we do have company. Well, first of all, Brother Andrew and Brittany and Connor is here, and Brother Andrew's son and grandson. Brother Mike's and Cindy. Brother Smith's great. Oh, man, I tell you, you have to start at the top, go down the bottom. But anyway, it's good to have them here, and I don't know where to start, Brother Smith. Where to start? Go up or go down. But anyway, it's good to have them. And then we got Brother Doug Bailey here with us for the first time. Good to have him. Thank Brother Vaughn might know him, right? All right, good. Stay acquainted. All right. Good. But anyway, it's good to be here today, and we got a holiday up on us, and I guess we got a lot of people missing too. So people are out of town traveling, so remember them. Their needs. And I was thinking, I saw Brother Andrew and Brittany, and I saw we had people that's out of town, then so God sent them to help replace them. So we got some going, some coming. So anyway, it's good to be in the house of God and to be able to come before him. He's thinking about all these good worship songs and just releasing our praise to the Lord. You know, somehow these holiday seasons sometimes is pretty stressful on families and people. It's a good time of the year. You think it'd be all joyful, but it's not. And it is a joy. It's a joyous time for families to get together and all, but they're not all having a good time. But let's pray that God help his people and keep looking to Jesus. Keep looking to the one that brought us, you know, where we are, and author and finisher of our faith, and we know that he can help us our every need, and he is helping us. And that's why I want to, you know, I know God can help us, but I like to be able to recognize that God is helping us. You know, he is showing us a way, and we just want him to keep showing us a way. Lord, keep helping us. We're going to keep looking to him. So we want to open with prayer, I guess, and apologize, y'all, for last Wednesday night. I don't think we took up prayer requests, did we? We had a pretty good service Wednesday night, but we didn't do prayer requests, so forgive me for that. I don't know. We did pray at the end of the service, but God is good to us. But let's pray today for God, the needs of God's people, and pray that he'll help each one. I'm sure the prayer request that we have, Sister Linda. Okay, all right. Okay, remember that. Sister Wilkins, okay. All right, Brother Doug. Your mother. Pneumonia. All right. Brother Stewart. Okay, remember Brother and Sister Crow. Brother Crow. Not Brother Crow, he said, not too well. Okay. Brother and Sister Wallace. All right. She's traveling. All right. Remember Sister Sherry. She's traveling. Remember, each. Okay. Remember Brother Brent. Then we got a youth meeting coming up, too, in a few days. Remember that? Remember Brother Joe. Pray for him. Pray for him. All right, Sister Sandra. Josh. Okay. Remember that tonight, today. Okay. All right. Yes, remember that. The work there, the Dominican Republic.
Remember Brother Pilsen, Los Angeles, California. A revival that broke out in his church. He said the people were beating him to it. He hadn't even had a chance to share all this with him. He's getting yet, but he said the Spirit's just breaking out. He don't know what's going on. But he's giving God the credit that it has to do with him finding the body of Christ.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, keep praying for Brother Pilsen.
Brother Pilsen, all right.
His churches.
Wow.
Brother Pelt's church.
Brother Pelt's church in Brandywine. Remember them. Pray God will keep his hand upon them. Any other requests? I guess Brother Rivera. Brother Mark's brother Tom, he was here, was that a couple months ago? He may, Brother Mark said he may have gotten him a job here in Little Rock, so pray for him. And I was blessed to stay with Brother Mark's parents when they had a special meeting up there in Springfield Republic on a Friday night, and I just happened to go up there, and of course we rode together, me and Brother Mark and Brother Jerry, a good fellowship, he shared. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't doing it on purpose, but him, and he just called his brothers and sisters and mom and dad, and he was open about it, and they really made me feel welcome up there, and I appreciate his parents. Had a good visit with them, good people, very good people, and I often think about them, and I'm glad that he's still, you know, communicating with them, and I just really feel good about the relationship. I mean, he was open about it. I mean, they didn't have to do that, but they did. I'm glad. I experienced it. I put it that way. It was a good experience. So anyway, let's pray for God's people. And yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I remember Brother Shane Key and pray for him, his family situation. I guess us should come up. We'll go ahead and pray, and pray for these needs that have been mentioned here today, and pray that God will help his people. I guess we got an unspoken request on the board. But anyway, let's remember all of these needs.
Yes, amen.
Pray that God will touch his people. Lord, we thank you this day. Lord, we look to you, O God. Lord, Lord, that you can help us. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We want to lift you up. Oh, God, yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Oh, Jesus.
Help us, Lord. lift you up. Magnify you.
Oh, Jesus.
Worship our precious Lord.
Lord, you have all power, Lord, in your hands. Glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Glory. Praise God. Thank you. Precious Lord.
I'm just a pilgrim passing through this wicked world of sin. I've got my eyes upon the Lord, for he's my dearest friend. He promised me he'd stand with me through valleys on the way. And now I feel his precious spirit stronger every day. I'm being healed, 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 spirit, soul, and body even now. I feel his spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, 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 and I feel his spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on. Just when I think I've overcome, a cross I've learned to bear. I've too much pride, I think I'm gaining ground. Just when I'm least expecting, old Adam's resurrecting. By the grace of God, I'll put my spirit down. Always be a child. However, can I please the Lord if I rant and rave and frown? I'll never do the will of God till I put my spirit down. I'm being healed, 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 spirit, soul, and body even now. I feel his spirit in my soul. I feel a beastly spirit in me running wild. And I ask myself this question, must you always be a child? However, can I please the Lord if I rant and rave and frown? I'll never do the will of God until I put my spirit down. I'm being healed, 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 spirit, soul, and body even now. My soul, I'm being healed, 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 and I feel his spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on. I'm being healed, 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 spirit, soul, and body even now. I feel his spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, 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 and I feel his spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on.
the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. And I'm thankful that I'm still here. And I'm thankful you're still here. This is, of course, a holiday season, but I still am I'm thankful that we're our nation, that our nation still promotes the observance of Jesus Christ coming to this world. Know that we don't really know, have an exact time of his birth, but the fact is he was born. He came to this world, and I'm glad that that our country recognizes that. I fear I see our country growing farther and farther from God, but I still am thankful that we have things, you know, like this time of year, that we recognize that Jesus was born. I don't think that's something you'll be able to take away from this world. And I'm thankful that I know it's been commercialized a lot, and the original meaning of it's been lost to a great extent, but it's still a time of the year that we can use this time of year to benefit. If I think I've learned that if you don't do anything but make little of it, you're not going to accomplish anything but possibly hurt those that would even consider, you know, and look up. I'm thankful that we still have a wonderful account in history of Jesus coming to this world, not only in history, but in the Bible, that finally it came time that God sent Jesus to this world. He was... He existed before he came to this world. Some people, you know, most people believe that, but some people don't have that understanding. I think John, if you want to look in St. John, the first chapter, I really don't... In the 11th verse of St. John, it says that he came to his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That shows that there has to be a birth. You have to be born again. You can't. He's revealing here that if you're just blood-born, you know, born of man, or the will of the flesh, or the will of man, that just helps you to understand that not everyone's born of the will of God, but, you know, I don't even know. I didn't even ask my mom and daddy if they prayed about having me. They just had me. They might have prayed about it, but I'll just confess to you, Sister Smith, and I wasn't praying about Michael. He just came along. And but thank God, he's not just born of man, but he's Finally came a time in his life he was born of God. And I was too. Thank God I've been born again. Born of God. Verse 14 said, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So he did exist prior to coming to this world, but the Bible said that he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So he came, you know, before God created anything. In fact, at some point, according to Scripture, there was a time when nothing existed but God. I can't fathom that. I don't know how to explain it. I don't have any scriptures other than I can tell you that the Bible says that he's the first begotten of the Father, the firstborn creature, Jesus. He was created of God. He hadn't always existed. God created him, according to Colossians, the first chapter. And so that puts God. And then everything else that was created by Jesus, the Bible says. So you want to go to Colossians, the first chapter, just to rehearse that in your mind, or maybe even see it for the first time. Colossians 1. Verse 12 says, Giving thanks unto the Father, that's God the Father, which hath made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, that's Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. See, Jesus was the first creature that ever was created. For by him were all things created. He did the creating. That are in heaven, that includes everything in heaven, and even the angels. And that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So, let me read a little further. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if, everybody ought to circle that little if in your Bible, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So, he came to reconcile us to God, back to God. In the beginning, when God created Jesus, they must have talked about this, because it, in the beginning of the book of Genesis, it says, now let us make man. And so, and since he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, it was understood that at some point there would be a fall of man, and Jesus would have to come and redeem man from his fallen condition. That was all understood in God's wisdom, and Jesus understood it. He was willing and he accepted it. And 4,000 years after he was created, or thereabouts, God said, it's time for you to be reduced. This is really a fathom to me, that God would reduce Jesus to just a seed, you know, and place him in the womb of Mary, and that he would be born a natural human being, born of God. He's God's son. The difference between him and you, you were born maybe of man's will, and certainly of the flesh and of blood, but he was born of God. He was God's son, and he was born of God. When you and I were born, we had the need to be born again, because we were born of man. As in Adam, all die, but in Christ shall all that receives him will be made alive. So, but when Jesus came to this world, he came already born of God. That was the difference in you and him. You had to be born again. He came born of God. And he came to reconcile man's fallen condition back to God. No wonder when that little baby was born in a barn, laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, no wonder that the angels in heaven rejoiced, because they knew the purpose of Christ coming to this world. They knew it was of great purpose. And we ought to, from time to time, rehearse it in our minds, that what a great day that was, the day that Jesus was born into this world. You and I were lost and without hope and under a curse until that day came. And that day brought hope. You and I, Paul said, the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. In other words, it didn't have anything to do with your will that you were made subject to vanity. See, the psalmist said it this way. He said that man is a few days and full of trouble, that we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. When you get here, when you got here in the fallen condition of mankind. Thank God, but he subjected. The Bible said that the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. See, God didn't put you here subject to all this vanity with no hope. But he gave hope from the very beginning when man fell. He said, he put up two cherubims and a flaming sword turning in every direction and said, now lest man put forth his hand and eat of the tree of life and live. So there's a way back to God from the fallen condition. And he said concerning the serpent that the woman would bruise his head. The seed of the woman would bruise his head. And he would bruise her heel. There's a warfare been taking place ever since the fall of man, the serpent condition. Now, that has to do with your mentality. It doesn't matter what you believe about the devil. The only way the devil can work is in your mind. That's the only way he can work. And that is a serpent characteristic that works in men. It even worked in Christ after he came to this world. He was tempted. He had to overcome his temptations. And he said, even if I be lifted up, even as Moses lifted up the serpent, the brazen serpent in the wilderness, I'll draw all men to me. Well, if you remember, they were rebellious in the wilderness, and God sent fiery serpents to bite them. And it was poisonous venom, and they were dying of those serpent bites. And Moses went to God and said, God, stop this curse. He said, what? He began to petition the Lord. And God told him, said, make a brazen serpent and stand it up in the wilderness and tell the people that everyone that will go look at that serpent, that they won't die from the venom of the snake bite. And that was a picture of Christ. Every one of us has been snake bit. Can you feel the venom of death running through your veins? Yep. We all snake bit. But there's one who went through the fire, a brazen serpent. He put himself through the fire and the trial and temptation and overcame sin and its condition. And he said, if I be lifted up, and if you'll look to Jesus, he'll save you from the snake bite. He'll save you from the venom of death. And you just have to have faith and hope and belief in that to know that he's able. Paul said, I'm persuaded that he that has begun this work in you, and that is that's a proof that it's just a begun work. It's not finished yet. But he that's began has started this work in you. See, when you first came to Christ, you first heard the word of truth, and faith rose up in your heart to believe that God sent his son to save me. It's a personal thing. He came to save you. He came to save me. Everybody say me. Yes. You have to get this. This has got to be personal. You got to understand God loves you. And he loves you, and he sent his son to save you. And if you look to Christ, if you look to our Redeemer, he will save you. If you'll believe in him, if you'll obey him. It's like this scripture I read. If you'll continue. You have to continue. You can't leave off somewhere and decide that, you know, there's some people that believes I've been born again so I can do anything I want to do in life and be saved. No, you can't. You've got to be faithful to God. You've got to become his servant and come out from among the world and be separate. Be one of God's children. And so Jesus came to this world to be a Savior, to save you and I. And even though he came to his own and they received him not, it is on the basis of majority, but there was a remnant of the Jews that accepted him as their Messiah. They received him not, but as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So when Jesus came into this world, it was a glorious day. Not everybody realized it. I'm sure there were people that it was just another day. They just went on. And so... You know, they weren't aware of what God was doing for all of mankind. At least you know, to the condition of the curse that was upon mankind. But listen, you and I, somehow this purpose of God, he purposed this according to the goodness of his own pleasure, his own will, God purposed. And somehow you and I, down here 2,000 years after it happened, are fitted in to his will. Some way I got born way down here this far time and the purpose of God. Look in Ephesians with me in the first chapter. Somehow God fitted this into his purpose, and he fit me into it. That means that has great meaning for me today, that the Lord saw fit to add me. I really don't think I found him. When you're lost, you can't hardly find anything when you're lost. But I've got to change we have to stop for a station identification, I guess. Not sure if I know how to do that. There we go. You collecting these? Okay. Does that work? Am I back on? All right. Technology. You know, we're living in a technological day. I was in a funeral here last year where they brought up a man's video of him preaching 2 weeks before he died. And the pastor of the church got up a little while later and he said, "That's what you call technology when a man can preach his own funeral." So we're living in quite a day. Here in Ephesians, the first chapter, let's start in the third verse. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him." See, he chose us. We didn't choose him. "Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." See, God, he predestinated that someone, that there, he would have a plan that would reconcile fallen man, and that there would be those that would accept his plan, those that would receive his purpose, what he was doing in adopting children, that is, you and I, that we would be born again and become children of God. And he planned this before the world was. Verse 6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Jesus, he did die a natural death and gave his natural blood as a sacrifice. He fulfilled the old covenant of sacrifice. The antitype met the type when Jesus died on the cross. He gave his life, his life blood. Your life is in your blood. He didn't have to necessarily, they didn't take his blood and offer it up on any altar anywhere. But he died. He gave his life as a sacrifice and the picture of all those Old Testament sacrifices. were fulfilled. When Jesus died, he brought forth a new covenant that we could enter into. And really, up until this time, it wasn't for Gentiles. It was for the Jews. But God, through Christ, opened it up to the whole world. Not that God didn't want anybody else saved, but Jews down through that 2,000-year period. But you just have to understand that God realized, I can't just deal with the whole world at one time. He started out with Abraham and just took the seed of Abraham and started working through one man, one family, built that into a nation. He finally got it to a place when he sent Jesus this world to give it to the whole world. But he couldn't hone it. He couldn't handle all of mankind. He had to hone it down to just one family. One finally grew into a nation. Finally, God became so acquainted with the world that it was time to send Jesus to this world and finally redeem all of mankind. Even Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the family that turned into a nation under the old covenant, they couldn't be saved eternally through that either. They had to be born again themselves. They have to go through a born again experience. That's why it's really important to understand the doctrine of resurrections. It takes, some are going to have to resurrect from the dead to be born again. Some already have been. Anyway, verse 8 says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. See, he had a purpose. He purposed something in himself of how to redeem man. I guess I'm just put it in plain words, God knew in the beginning that man would fall. He didn't predestinate the fall, other than he made man knowing. It was predetermined in his foreknowledge that man would fall. I don't know that God knew that Adam would fall, that the first man would fall. He just took a chance. But he knew somewhere man was going to fall, because it's very simple. When God created man, gave him his own will. You know, I'm just going to stop right here and just mention something to you. I was just studying this morning, just going through my Bible on being unequally yoked. How it was a law under the old covenant that you couldn't marry any girl of the seven nations of Canaan. Neither could your son marry any girl, neither could any girl in Israel marry any of those. Because God said, he said, they'll turn you against me. They're idolaters, they're heathen, and they don't know enough about me, and they'll corrupt your seed. So he made it a law in Israel. And I would just, I thought about how, later or even before that, God destroyed the world with the flood because of that. Did you know that? If you don't, go back and read the 6th chapter of Genesis, how that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them to wives and had children by them. And when God saw that happen, he said, I'm going to destroy the world and start all over, because this will destroy my purpose. And so he sent a flood and destroyed the world and kept one family and started all over. And then through Noah, of course, the descendants of Noah, Shem, brought forth the family of Abraham. And of course, out of Abraham, he brought 12 sons, Jacob, and 12 sons out of Isaac's son Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel formulated or were developed out of that. And and then God made a law that they weren't to marry into the you know, to become a corrupted. He put that in the law of Moses. And and I was just reading that today, and I was just thinking, oh God, we're still so far from you. I mean, if we could understand how important it is to get close to God and then stay. And you know, Paul even taught in the New Testament, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? See, you got to come out of the world and be separate from the world. You can't stay in the world and be a part of the world and take on the ways of the world and be so watered down or compromised with the world. But we're still having trouble today, aren't we? We're still having trouble with people understanding that and trusting God and believing God that you can still finally find a godly, righteous spouse to be joined up with. Of course, I'm thankful Paul dealt with it in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians when he said, when you come to God, if you have a spouse that doesn't believe, but they're willing to dwell with you and allow you to serve God, then don't leave them. Stay with them. You might win them. But if they depart, let them depart. You're not under bondage. God won't hold you to that marriage. When you come to God, if you come to God and your spouse is not godly, but they're willing to let you serve God, then, excuse me, then stay with them. You might save them. You might be the salvation of their soul. But if they leave you and say, look, I don't want no part of this life you've got with God, and I'm not going to live like this, then let them depart. You're not under bondage. You're not bound to them in that kind of case. Let them go. God will give you a godly spouse. But after you come to God and you know God, and don't be marrying somebody out there in the world. Don't be corrupting what your relationship with God with something that's ungodly. You know, he goes on in that chapter to show only get married in the Lord. And so there's provisions in the Bible of how to handle that. So, you know, how we're to conduct ourselves after we come to God. But I would just, you know, sometimes when I read this, it grieves me because I don't know how to reach our younger generation. You know, I can read those scriptures to them, I can preach to them, but the world has such an influence. And then, it's just hard on young people. Today, the world we're living in is a complicated world. I said the other day, you've got this. Here's what you have to deal with serving God. The first thing you got to deal with is your own serpent nature. You got to deal with your own mind. There's nobody that, you know, there is an influence of your own will and your own mind that you have to overcome that. You got to get to a point to where you're not doing your own will, but you're living according to the will of God and the Word of God. God's Word says something, but your mind tries to get around that. You know how a serpent does? A serpent sees you, it runs under a rock, it runs in the grass. It doesn't want to be judged. I don't want to come out in the light where you can see me and see that I'm just a snake. Well, we all have something like that working in us. None of us want to be judged. Nobody wants anybody telling them what to do. They don't want to come out in the light. But if you make up your mind to be saved, you've got to say, God, expose everything. You know, that's what David said. He said, God, try my reins and see whether there be any wicked thing in me. Go ahead and
work on me. I'm going to come out in the light. I'm going to get this thing on a rock. That's what Solomon said. He said that's one of the things that he didn't understand was a serpent on a rock. It's just not natural for a serpent to come out on a rock, just come out, you know, in the sun, open itself up for everything. You will see snakes do that when they come out of hibernation, but they're just trying to get the life of a snake going again. You know, they'll come out, you'll see them in the springtime, they'll come out laying on blacktop and on the highways, and they're out there soaking up the sun to get their blood flowing again where they can do the snake thing all spring and summer long and fall. But to put your serpent on a rock, that's not easy to do. You have to make up your mind that, God, I'm going to expose myself to you. I'm opening my heart up to you. I'm going to let you work in my life and shine the light of the gospel and let me see the things that you want corrected and receive your instructions of how to do that. And so that's the first thing you've got to deal with is you. You got to be able to finally grow and discern to, I realize that I'm causing God trouble. It's not somebody else, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And then there's an outside influence, this ungodly world. See, your response to God is one thing. The next thing is the temptation from outside influence of the world. It has an influence on all of us. Television's probably one of the worst. As I hate to admit it. There just ain't enough good about television to defend it. You know, it's just, you have to really be careful to control and not let it penetrate your mind because it's just so much corrupt on it. You know, I'm not saying there's not anything on there that's entertaining or good or it won't hurt you, but you kind of got to, kind of like looking for a needle in a haystack sometimes. It's all these different channels they got. Many times, Sister Smith and I thumb through them and say, there ain't a thing on here fit to watch. You know, there's just nothing on here. You get tired of even looking. You just turn the thing off. But but there's other outside influences, you know, that the whole world has an influence. I'm talking about the ungodly world. Then there's another influence. It's a religious. The religious influences in this world. You gotta find your way through all of that. You know how many? Do you think all of these different doctrines of religion could be right? No, they're not right. They can't be right. And then, if you're not careful, you and your mind will come up with your own ideology. Well, you just have to keep working and keep saying, God, help me, lead me in the right direction. I believe if you're sincere before God, He will help you. It'll take time, but God will help you if you just keep searching. That's why Jesus said, seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open. And He'll be faithful to you if you have a desire to know Him. The mystery of His will, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. That's what I'm working on today, is our inheritance, is why Jesus came to this world, to give you an inheritance, that you might inherit eternal life, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. I might say, down here in the Gentile world. This was written to Gentiles back there in the end of the Jewish world. But there's some of us down here that are those who first trusted in the understanding and the mystery of his will concerning the body of Christ in the Gentile world, in the end of the Gentile world, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the, you might say, it's the down payment until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. So God has, he has purposed something in Christ and sent Christ to this world 2,000 years ago, and what Christ came to do is still accomplishing the purpose of God today. It's accomplishing it in your hearts and my hearts. And so I don't want to just belabor and, you know, on this, beyond a reasonable point here, but I just want to bring to your mind today that Jesus came to this world to save you. That's how personal it has to be. If you put this off on somebody else, you'll never get what God's purpose was. His purpose was for you if you can receive it. If you'll, and you will be saved if you'll just serve him and keep yielding to him and be faithful to him and ask him. Sometimes you have to ask God. God, help me in areas that I don't know how to help myself. In areas that I haven't received enough help from you, I'm asking you to make up that difference. He will. He'll make up the difference for you. If you're hungry enough for God, he'll be faithful to you. He'll answer your cry. And he will save you. And it's not good enough to just be saved today. See, it's today's salvation's for today, but tomorrow's salvation is something you have to have also. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, none of us would be saved tomorrow. That's why every one of us need to say, God, keep showing me mercy. Keep reaching out. Keep touching my life. I heard somebody say here not long ago, they was up talking, they said, I will never, ever will I ever leave this. I thought, brother, don't say that. Don't say that without adding to it, say, by the mercy of God. If God will keep giving me grace and keep showing me mercy, my desire is, today, to never leave the body of Christ, to never leave out from serving God, but I know it's going to take more of his grace. It's going to take more of his mercy. And I'm here today because of his mercy, not and because of his purpose. I'm not here because I chose him. I'm here because he chose me. He chose me. He chose you. He loved you enough to send his son. And Jesus loved you enough to come and to die. I tell you, when you read the story about Jesus, I could see where it'd be easy for him to say, God, I can't do this. I could see where he'd say, look, I'm not willing for these yahoos to hang me up on a cross and make mockery of you and me both. You know, let's just end this thing. But he knew. God gave him enough foreknowledge, enough insight, enough revelation to understand that it was the only way that you and I could be saved. That what he went through here on this earth, and that if you could be born of the same spirit that he was born of, and that if you could begin to receive from God the things he received from God, and if you could grow and develop to a place that you understood God's purpose, I know I understand part of it today, but I'm not going to say that I've got the whole revelation yet. But I will tell you this, I've got enough of it that I want the rest of it, Brother Tally. I want the rest of this saving power. It saved me up to where I'm at today, but there's still things yet that I want to be saved of, that I want to be delivered of, because I want eternal life. I love this life, and I love what God purposed to do in my life, and the opportunity I have. Well, I'll just tell you, I've served him enough years that I don't know what I'd do without him anyway. I don't know how I'd live for God without God, but I know I've seen men fall, and I've seen men serve God for many years and fall and die accursed. Well, I don't want that to happen to me. I want to serve him, and I want to finish my course. I told somebody that here lately. I said, Jesus knew he did what God sent him to do. He finally reached the place where he said, it's finished. Hallelujah. And then the Apostle Paul, he made the statement, I have finished my course. He said, I've fought a good fight, and I finished. How would you like to be able to say, I finished? Paul said that before he died. He knew that he finished. Yeah, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for they who love his appearing. That's not just saying that I'm wanting Jesus to come. Not literally. That won't change you. But if he'll appear in your life. See, he has appeared in my life to some extent, and he's just getting greater and greater. I'm getting to know him better and better, and I'm taking on his characteristics and his way of thinking. Finally, if I'll finish the work of God, if I'll let God help me come to an end of this, he'll finally appear in me. I'll be like him. I'm becoming more like him all the time, but I know I've not finished yet. I can't say yet it's finished. But that's my hope. One day I can say, I finished my course. I've run a race and I finished it. So Peter also, he said, you know, the Lord has showed me that I must shortly put off this tabernacle. He wasn't planning on just dying. He's planning on getting a new house. He said, Paul said, if this house that we live in is dissolved, we have another house made without hands of the heavens. Finally, there's a glorious body like his body. You can finish this course. Hallelujah. So, God help me stay in this race. God help me finish my course. God keep working your grace in my life and finish. I heard today, you know, I just want to say, there's things happens this time of year that never happens in another time. I turned my radio coming to church this morning on a jazz station. You know what was playing? It was just music, instrumental, but it was Amazing Grace on jazz. I thought, hallelujah. You know, God, he's still working in the arena of mankind. God fixed it. At least this time of year, people are thinking about him. Here they was on a jazz station playing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, God. I was listening to that. I said, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I know this jazz station will never play this again till next Christmas time. But they're playing it now. This week they're playing it. Well, thank God, saints. Take advantage of this week Take advantage of this time of the year. Use it to the benefit of the purpose of God that he put in Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's a good time of the year to celebrate the birth of Christ. I know we've went the whole spectrum on this. We went from finding out the truth about it and how, you know, that it wasn't Jesus' true birthday and how religion compromised a lot of things. So we turned thumbs down on it for a while. And we got plumb off in one ditch on that. We started out in another ditch, you know, embracing all of the hoopla or all the false things about it and all the commercialization about it. But somewhere I think God wants us to get in the middle of the road and to realize that there's something God can benefit out of this time of year if we'll hold to the righteousness that God purposed in Christ coming to this earth. Hallelujah. So, you know, I'm not I'm glad that there's at least some time of the year, even if they have commercialized it, it's still about a little baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger, coming to this world to bless this world and to lift up the curse of death off of us. Hallelujah. I'm glad that the world that don't know him at least will sing hosannas this week. They'll sing about the three wise men in I can't sing all them little songs, but they'll sing Silent Night. They'll sing all about his coming to this world, and it'll bring a knowledge to somebody that he came. Hallelujah. I can rejoice in that. And I can be thankful for what God did me in sending his son to this world. Hallelujah. So Merry Christmas to y'all. Hallelujah. Okay. No. We're still going to have potluck dinner here about 1:30. So Brother Mark's got a song, I believe. Hallelujah. Maybe while he's singing it, I had Sister Yvonne is out of town, but she just about forgot my request, but she got Sister Lynette to help her, and I had her had them to put together a little fruit and candy package for our young people. So if the ushers would pass that out while. And I really wanted to give one to everybody, but they didn't make enough. They thought that we'd have more people gone. So give one to every one of the little kids, all the kids. I don't know where they're at. Do y'all know where this candy's at? These bags are? All right. Well, some of you, brethren, if you would, I like for the kids to. Don't you feel good when somebody gives you something? Just gives you a little present, says here. Well, I want them to. And I told them, I hope they beefed it up a little bit this year. I said, give them some good candy, you know. And there's not enough, I don't think, for everybody. Give one to all the kids, then start in with the old folks. You know, old folks likes to get presents. Yeah, they like to be know that they're special. So start in with them and then just kind of move down. And make sure that all of our guests. Give Brother Vaughn a bag of candy back there. Him and Brother Doug. Yeah, he's new here. We want him to know that we're glad he's here. All right. God bless you, Brother Mark. Go ahead and sing. Yeah.
I'm on. Praise God. that separated me from Christ my Lord. It was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demand, it seemed so far. I cried, "Dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are."
when it what. To say one of these things makes us own. Hallelujah.
You know, I'd just like to say, here in our church here in Little Rock, we've, Brother Smith even said it a while ago, we've held to the way we've felt on this particular holiday for years. But, you know, the question we'd have to ask is, did it do any good? You know, and did we save anybody? And did we offend anybody? I've offended people right and left. I've offended people, lots of people. But Brother Smith hit the nail on the head, I believe. There's such a thing as going down the middle of the road. We can know the truth about what's around us, and yet at the same time know how everyone else feels and work with these people. Brother Tucker told us one time, he was talking about, he went to a meeting, and Brother Tucker didn't think a whole lot of televisions either, Brother Smith. And of course, he disfellowshipped Santa Claus. And the house that he was staying in, the people had a great big color television sitting there in the bedroom right beside a Christmas tree. And Brother Tucker said he had no trouble going to sleep. Just went right on off to sleep. But you know what? The point I believe he was making with that is he could love them people anyway. And we live in a country where God is shown honor. And shown recognition, and thank God for that. I even listened to Christmas songs this week myself. I love Christmas songs. I love them. They're upbeat. They're positive. They're talking about somebody that came to this world and died for our sins. And sure enough, that may be really the only way some of these people get the message of that. You know, some of these people don't want anything to do with God whatsoever, but yet they can hear these songs. They want to celebrate this particular time of the year. Maybe only because they're getting a present. But my sister Holly loaned me a book talking about the five different love languages. I don't know if any of you folks ever read that book. But one of the love languages in this book is gifts. There's people that likes gifts. And you can actually win their hearts with gifts. You know, maybe just a simple thing like a cake, a pie, you know, a box of candy, that present that you was handing out earlier. You know, some people really like that. I like presents. And, you know, if you can use that for a tool, you know, to share with somebody what happened 2,000 years ago, they might actually be listening to you while you're handing them a box, a present. You know, here they are looking at you. They want that box. It's almost like that picture that was downstairs for a while of this donkey pulling a cart, had a carrot hanging in front of his face. You know, if you're standing there holding a present and these people are looking at you, they want that present, and you hand it to them, say, Jesus loves you. I just want you to know that. I want you to know that he's your best friend. He died on the cross for your sins. Hand him that present. You know, these people, you may only have their attention for just a few seconds, but you might give them a nugget, a better present than what you're actually handing to them. You might actually be handing them a nugget, something they can think with while they're all by themselves and they're thinking, huh, somebody really loves me? Oh, the way I've acted? Oh, I don't hardly think so. But yet, that word might be haunting them. And that's what you want. You want to plant a seed. That's the best present you can give somebody. Anyway, so I'm appreciative that we're learning to walk down the middle of the road. You know, Brother Souders did that. Or at least I hear. I wasn't back there. That he did that. You know, between the two sides of the way Pentecost believed, Brother Souders got in the middle of the road. And he handed it. He did the same thing. I heard that he cut an apple open. And there was a minister that believed one way on one side of him, and one that believed the way on the other side of him, and then handed both of them an apple. You know, he might have been, sir. Did he get any? Well, he cut it. Anyway, they got some of that apple, and you know, he was working on them men. Believe it or not, he was working on them men. You know, everything we do really should be to that direction of working on somebody. I know it seems like I run my mouth a lot, and I smart off to people a lot. But it's a way of trying to get people's attention. You know, and then you plant a seed at the same time. You know, or maybe somehow or another get their attention, and then you can plant a seed. But I'm happy for. Oh, and then. What you was teaching on this morning, Brother Smith, I want to comment on that if you don't mind. You was talking about God going back to the, or grafting these people back into the vine that they were, because of their unbelief, they were uprooted, they was cut out of the vine. And we were grafted in. We really don't have anything to brag about. You know, really, it does depend on, it is because of Him. That last message that Moses preached to those people before God took him, he told them, he said, it's not because of any righteousness you've done that God's dealt with you, but because of His righteousness. And then the same principle applied to us when they lost out. He grafted us in. It wasn't because of anything we did, but it was because of the good things of God, the goodness of God. And now, of course, Brother Smith was telling us this morning, He's going to graft these people back in. Those that will believe. Those that will accept Him. You know, that's what we got to do. We've got to believe and accept Him. My brother's constantly talking to me about unbelief. Because of my unbelief, I get in situations that I don't belong in. And that's what happened to those people. They unbelief put them where they were, where they are. Anyway, but I'm glad to hear these wonderful truths. You know, let me share this with you. You know, I tell you stories about people, they don't even know the Bible stories. Don't even know anything I'm talking about out here that I run across. These people don't even know simple Bible stories. But here we are learning about truths that has depth in it. We can't even start to talk to these people out here we run across about these things. Because they don't already know what we're talking about when we're just telling them a simple Bible story. And then the great truths that God's given us and the blessings that God's given us. I feel like sometimes we're just living on milk and honey. And that's all right. I get excited thinking about how good we've got it, as a matter of fact. I remember the message coming across that if we weren't going through any trouble, God must not love us. I don't know if I believe that anymore, because I don't feel like I have any problems, anything to worry about. And I still believe He loves me. I believe He loves you. He died for you. Brother Smith was telling us that a while ago. He died for you and me 2,000 years ago. And it was Brother Pryor. No, it was Brother Painter talking the other night. He said he didn't even know why God dealt with us. Because you look at our condition, and even the attitude we have sometimes. Driving up and down the highway, you watch the way people act. The way people drive, how people cut one another off. And what was that question that was talking about where Jesus was born? Can anything good come out of Bethlehem? You wonder sometimes, can anything good come out of this world? Well, it can, but we've got to get rid of ourselves. We got to quit acting like what we see out here in society. You know, Paul made a statement. He said, I wrestle toward the goal, the prize of the goal of the high calling, where I can say is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. With this that we're eating here, we're living on milk and honey, we're being blessed beyond measure. We know that we have a Jesus that loves us. We've got plenty to talk about. I was talking to my brother yesterday. I said, you know, I was listening to a radio station this last week where people like us was being ran down. And I thought, they really are going to come after us eventually. But you know what? It was like I was listening to that and I thought, if war is what they want, war is what they're going to get. But you know what? It's not a physical war. Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, we don't back down. And I was telling my brother yesterday, I said, I don't mind dying for what I believe in. I just don't want to go through all that pain ahead of time. That's all. He said, Paul, you're looking at the waves. You remember when Peter stepped out of the boat? As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he's okay. But when he started looking at the waves, and Brother Smith said a while ago, he was talking about, which one was it, Peter? One of them that made the statement. He said, I'm going to put off this house. Huh? Peter? He wasn't talking about he was going to die, and he wasn't dreading all that pain he was going to go through ahead of time. But he was looking forward to the fact that he was just going to put off that house and take on a new house. People really don't know about this out here. I'm telling you, that is an attitude. That is a great attitude. And I appreciate knowing things like that. I'm glad to be here today. God is good. He is our best friend. Yes. I'm glad to be here.
Glory to God.
Listen to all that we hear here.
Good, brother.
Paul, dinner's on the table, they're telling me, so let's all stand and give the Lord a praise for this day and his goodness to us and for the food and the fellowship we're about to receive. No churches tonight. I'm letting y'all off for company. No people's got family, if they're not already in, coming in, and we've got so many out of town, so it won't be any service this evening, but enjoy your time together and no band practice. And no choir practice. We're just going to eat dinner and enjoy our time together. And then we're going to go home. And, you know, I hope Santa Claus brought you something. And I hope you found out who he is. If you haven't yet, well, just keep on working at it. You'll find out in time. But even if you know who he is, I still hope you get a present from him. Hope you got something to look forward to. Yeah, I still, you know, even when we was preaching against Christmas, I was still accepting gifts. I never did quit that. I can show you that we was a little bit off, Brother Daniels, on our deal. Anyway, Brother... Well, I won't tell you who told me, but somebody just told me this morning, said, you know, even the ideal of Santa Claus just showed that there was good gesture in it, you know, being good to people. So you figure it out. Who would you rather be like, Santa Claus or Scrooge? Thank you, Lord, God, for your goodness to us. Oh, God, for your blessings. Oh, Lord, bless our food and our fellowship and time together. We give you praise, Lord, for your goodness, your great grace. Oh, God, your blessings on us. Oh, Lord, we give you praise. All right, God bless your hearts.